Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
Listen to what I'm going to say, because the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven run parallel. Talked about it a couple of weeks ago. But when we step in, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, as they run parallel, begin to run parallel inside of us. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, heaven, obviously, where we're going, and the kingdom of God, the government of God. They run parallel in purpose. They run together in agreement. They don't disagree with one another at any point. And what I want to say to you in this, you know, I know we're changing things up, but just roll with it for a minute. The kingdom of God, as I said to you, is political because it's a government. It's a government, and when the kingdom of God speaks and the kingdom of God moves, it moves from a governmental position of authority. The kingdom of God is authority. And the people said to Jesus, where is the kingdom of God? And he said to the religious people that separate heaven and earth, he said to the religious people, you're going to look here and you're going to look there, but you're never going to see it. He said, because you're looking for it in the natural. Even though it appears in the natural, you're just looking for it in natural form. So you're never going to see it. He said, you look here, you look there, you'll never see it because it's within you. It's inside of you. The government of God and the kingdom of God that run parallel begin to run parallel inside of us. And when we speak in Jesus' name, we are speaking from the government of the kingdom of God. If you're a blood-bought saint, if you've given your life to Jesus, you've invited him into your life, and you've said, Jesus, come and rule me and rule my life and take over because I've jacked it up. How many of you ruined your life before you gave it to Jesus? Rest of you are liars. Okay? Come on, I'm just funning with you in that. But I want you to understand that the kingdom of heaven is relational. The kingdom of heaven is a relationship. It's not an organization in that sense. The kingdom of heaven is a relationship. The kingdom of God is a government. And so when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you come into a relationship with his government. And when our relationship with Jesus Christ no longer serves his government, I can't tell you what happens on relation. Doesn't mean you don't have a relationship with Jesus anymore. But how many Christians never, how many who have confessed Christ have never put the two together inside themselves to realize that when they disagree with the government of the kingdom of God, which is a genuine government, and it is political, everybody thinks, well, politics, is God a politician? You bet he is. He gives you a vote. Yes and no. That's it. You get a choice. You can say yes to God or you can say no to God. So the government of God moving through us is the government of the kingdom of God to reach out and touch people and change lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do church anymore if people's lives aren't going to be changed. If all we're going to do is we're going to show up, do some music, take an offering, preach a few words about Jesus. Not that I don't revere the scriptures. I do. I've given my life to study them and teach them. But at some point, we have to take responsibility for the fact that the kingdom has taken residence inside of us, and he wants us to, oh my gosh, I'm going to get myself in trouble. How many Christians never really understand their relationship with heaven in that sense, and how many Christians never They never reconcile the fact that they're not happy with their life. And so they see heaven as a place where they're going. And they see heaven as an escape. You know why everybody wants to talk about, and I love end times issues. How many of you believe Jesus is coming back? How many of you believe he's coming back at 11:45? I'll take it earlier if it will. Okay. I am pro Jesus coming back. I believe Jesus is coming back. But I think all too many people really don't understand heaven. And so they live their life as a Christian wanting to go there. But the reason they live their life focused on going to heaven, it's kind of like an escape. And, you know, we all say it funningly, you know, but, you know, there are times when life gets difficult. You go, I wish I was in heaven, you know. But the reality is all too many Christians think more about going to heaven than they do about their current life because they don't like their life. Yes. They're not happy with where they are. They're not satisfied with where they are. And so they want to go to heaven more than they want to bring heaven here and help other people find out that there is a heaven. So we live ourselves in a religious box that's really safe and comfortable. We're not going to get dinged and we're not going to get hurt, but it's because we're not happy with our life now. Now, don't get me wrong. Life's hard. Life's difficult. Life has all kinds of stuff going on. But when the kingdom, listen to what I'm going to say to you. I know you know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it again. When the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are bigger on the inside of you than it is on the outside of you, you begin to enjoy your life and understand your purpose. So many Christians want to escape and go to heaven because they don't understand why they're here. They want to get out, and they will flock to churches. And I have pastor friends who can exegete the rapture and the return of Jesus and coming in the fourth trumpet and the fifth seal and eighth vial. I don't know when he's coming back. Okay, they know all that, and I'm for that. I love them. They're probably watching this. But I want you to understand that if all you learn about is where you're going rather than what is inside of you, then all you're going to do is live to get out rather than live to live through so you can affect and change somebody else's life. When you love yourself in the sense that you understand Jesus died for you. He died for me. He shed his blood. He suffered a gruesome and cruel death in order that we might live and go to heaven or let heaven converge here through us. To understand that the kingdom of God is so clear. I mean, you read that and you read the book of Acts and you read about what they did in the book of Acts. They went through all kinds of hell. They were flogged and they were beaten and they were imprisoned and they were persecuted and men, women, and children were fed to the lions. And they wouldn't keep their mouths shut because they understood that it wasn't about going to heaven, it was about bringing heaven to earth in the lives of other people. You want to talk about evangelism? You want to talk about telling people the truth? Then live our lives as though heaven is really inside of us, taking place, no matter what it looks like, no matter what I'm dealing with, whether you have a spouse dealing with a physical problem, you have your own financial issues, you have family-related problems. Hello, welcome to the world. The world's going through the same thing. Why would they want to listen to us if we lived a perfect life and we didn't go through the same garbage they go through? Now, I'm not talking about speaking death on you, and I'm not talking about intentionally trying to make yourself suffer, but to understand that when the kingdom is alive inside of you, you're not thinking about getting out. You're thinking about the people around you that ain't going to make it out. We've invited Bill Weiss. I'm sorry, I'm going to do an advertisement in the middle of this. We invited Bill Weiss because I know nobody on the planet, no one, And believe me, I know enough people to tell you that I know enough people. That Bill Weiss knows the scriptures about heaven and hell like no other person on the planet I have ever met or heard of. And he is going to be here next Sunday, and he is going to download the scriptures on people. And how can we not? I mean, so many Christians, they don't want to talk about hell because they don't understand heaven. They won't discuss the subject of hell, and yet Jesus over and over and over again alluded to it. He even gave an example in Luke when a man dies and he's on the wrong side of eternity and he's in torment and he looks up and sees this other man that is in paradise, and there's a great gulf fixed between them. Listen to what Jesus said. There's a gulf between them. And the guy in paradise is looking over at the guy that is in torment, and the guy in torment says, just dip your finger. It said, just send him. Dip your finger in one drop of water. Ah! Just one drop of water in my tongue and I'll be satisfied. That there is an eternity that isn't going to be happy and it isn't going to be pretty. And to whitewash that and to religiously cover that up is an absolute shame, because Jesus died for that truth. Jesus died for the truth that there is a heaven and that there is a hell, and that we are going to one or the other, and because the kingdom of God is political, that means you have a vote. And it's not on who's in charge. The vote is on where you're going. I mean, listen to the disciples. I mean, Peter, right out of the gate, man, what does he do? He's, you know, he's on the day of Pentecost, you know, and they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to come. And they're all together in a room, and they're praying. And they, you know, Jesus told them, go wait for the kingdom of God, you know, to come to earth. And what, that's the first thing they say. If you read the book of Acts in chapter 1, the first thing they say is, Lord, when will the kingdom come? And what does Jesus say? Can I paraphrase it for you? It's none of your business. That's what he said. It's none of your business. Why are you preoccupied with when I'm going to come back and finish this whole thing? There's a world full of people that don't know what I did. I was raised from the dead. I was crucified for your sins to wash you in my blood to make you right with God so that you can experience heaven on earth. So stop thinking about getting out because you're not satisfied with your life now. That's basically what he said to Peter. He said, you're not happy with your life now. You're not satisfied with it. He'd already had the debate with Peter, you know, and the whole issue. And then he says, you're not satisfied with it. So no, I'm not going to tell you. Because if that's going to satisfy you when I'm coming back, you still don't get it. And so what happens on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Ghost, chapter 2, downloads the kingdom. Downloads the kingdom and fullness in them. And here's Peter, who wants to know more about getting out than bringing people through, and gets chastened by Jesus. Now, full of the Holy Ghost, what's the first thing that he does? He stands up before all the religious people of Jerusalem that day at Pentecost, and he begins to download the kingdom to him. Here's this guy who wants out now, who doesn't want out, wants them in. Does that make sense? There's a boldness in Peter. There's a brazenness in Peter. And he had a boldness that was driven by the kingdom on the inside and his passion. Somehow, I don't know what happened, but he got it. And every time I read that, I always say to myself and to the Lord, I know I get it, but I don't get it enough. And what happens? Then all of a sudden, the church begins to explode, and it is not religious. It's in power. I mean, you know what happened. They all get full of the Holy Ghost, and everybody says they're all drunk, and all that kind of stuff. And then the next thing you know, Peter is preaching to all the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's preaching to all the people that wanted Jesus dead. He's preaching to them all. And basically, if you read that sermon in chapter 2, he downloads on them. He says, you guys crucified him. You killed him. You persecuted him. And God raised him from the dead. And you're going to fry like sausage if you don't get right with God. I mean, what happened to Peter, who was looking for the escape route, that now is full of the Holy Ghost and he's telling people the truth? That there's a heaven and that there's a hell, and they convene on earth in the lives of people. And passion began to flow through the church. Oh, goodness. Go, get your Bibles out. Go to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to do it anyway. Acts chapter 4. Hold your Bibles up. Say, this is my Bible. It's the living word of God. It has the power to change my life. To get the announcements right. And the offering done. Okay, watch this. Okay, now watch. Acts chapter 4. We're going to meet you. Stay with me if you can. Acts chapter 4, verse 5. And it came to... No, wait a minute. Let's go to verse 1. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spoke unto the people... There's Peter. He's downloading. And to the priests and all the captains of the temple and the Sadducees. You know why they call them Sadducees? Because they're sad, you see. Came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Listen to what all the religious leaders are really upset right now. They're mad. They don't like it because they're calling them out. Listen to what it says. Verse 3. And they laid hands on them and put the hold on them the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the words believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. 5,000 doubters are converted because the kingdom was downloaded on them. They were told the truth. How many of you like to see 5,000 souls saved in one day? Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and the scribes, now watch this, watch what's going to happen, and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, the very same guys that ordered the crucifixion of Jesus, those who ordered his death that hated him for what he stood for, are the ones that they're downloading on. How many of you know? You better be full of something. Oh my goodness, I had to be careful what I was about to say. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and the scribes, Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and many were of the kind of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set themselves in the midst, watch this, I love this. When they had set themselves, in other words, they put Peter and the guys right in the middle of everybody. You know, what they didn't realize is they were setting up a crowd. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this thing? What are they talking about? They're talking about the fact that Peter is going to church one day, one afternoon, by the way, at a 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon service. How many people won't even go to church at 10? If you're watching, they won't go to church at 10. But what does he do? He's going to church. And he walks by this guy, and this guy has been laying it. You know the story. This guy's been laying at the gate for 40 years. Peter passed him time over time, time after time after time after time after time. This time, now Peter's full of the Holy Ghost. And he's just confronted those who had executed Jesus. And he looks at the guy, and he heals him. He says, give me your hand. And he stands him up. And the guy goes Pentecostal in church. Read it. What he did is he jumped up, he ran in the golden gate and ran into the courtyard of the temple and started shouting, hallelujah. You wonder why we get excited about Jesus? Because if you've ever bumped into Jesus like that, you can't keep your mouth shut. Come on. Stay with me. Come on. They unplugged the clock, so hang on. Okay. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, there's that name, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think Peter's kind of brazen right here. And listen to what he says, because he's talking to the people that crucified Jesus. Whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which, okay, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name. No other name. That's our series. There is no other name. We will not be quiet. The world calls it hate speech. It's not hate speech. I've said this to you before. When we say there is no way to heaven except through the name of Jesus, that's it. It's not Buddha. It's not Allah. It's not Krishna. It's not Muhammad. It's not Billy Graham or Oral Roberts or whatever you want to name. There is only one name. That name is Jesus. And that's the only way you're going to go to heaven. That's the only option. Now, the world calls that hate speech, and I've said this to you before. It's hate speech if you really believe that there's no other name and you don't tell somebody. How much do you hate somebody to not tell them the truth? How much can we hate someone at work to not live Jesus in front of them? How much can we hate people in the marketplace? How much can we hate our neighbors when we won't tell them that we know the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are running parallel on earth in my house, in my body, in my life? Folks, this is about telling people about Jesus, and it's not about getting out of here. It's about living the kingdom in power and the understanding that it's more than just getting a couple of Bible verses in your heart and getting a little peace and having enough, you know, money, and you know, you just go through the drill. To live life in this manner. But watch verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Watch this. When those who crucified him. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. That's religious code for stupid. Okay? You don't understand religion. Hallelujah. I've spent the last 50 years trying to get rid of all the religion I learned in the first. Three of you got it. The rest of you are napping. Okay. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, watch this. They marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Man, you can't get Jesus in your life if something doesn't happen. How is it that we get saved and we, you know, what is it? We get saved and then it's now just get on the train and start living for heaven? I want to go to heaven. Believe me, people ask me all the time, when is Jesus coming back? I don't know. I have not a clue. I have pastor friends that can tell you that he's coming between the third trumpet, the fourth seal, and the eighth vial. I don't know when he's coming. All I know is my ticket's punched. I'm going in the first load. Amen. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Because if you do, you can't keep your mouth shut. You're going to live your life in boldness and encouragement and faith that God's moving through your life. You stop listening to what the world says about you. The world says, yeah, you know, you don't know enough. Yeah, you know. That you understand what God says about you and the boldness. Now watch, verse 14. And behold, the man which was healed, I love this, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. What do they do? What are they going to do? What are they going to say about Peter? Peter's going, I got proof right here. You've watched him for 40 years. You've turned him down for 40 years. You haven't given him a dime. And you won't let him in the temple. You won't even pick him up and carry him in there. God had a better plan. Heal him and let him walk in on his own. Oh, my goodness. That's good preaching. Okay, verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves. I'd have loved to have been a fly on the wall of that conversation, wouldn't you? Okay, the religious trying to figure out, how are we going to get out of this? Watch this. Verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men for that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Where is the gospel that the unbelieving, they can reject, but they can't deny? You know, they won't ever, you know, now I'm not telling you that they're going to say, oh, I believe you and I don't want it. How are they going to deny it? They're going to walk off and they're going to say, I don't believe, but deep down in their heart, they're convicted. Deep down in their heart, they're convicted because they can't deny the truth. If you and I live the truth before people, they can't deny it. Now, they may deny it openly, but down in here, the most miserable people on the planet, you know who they are? They're not unbelievers. They're backsliders. Because they've been touched by the kingdom. And I can't but wonder if we haven't kind of backslidden. If we can't tell people everything to everybody all the time. How can we define backsliding as having a drink, smoking a joint, getting drunk, sleeping with somebody that's not your spouse? That's a sin. That's wrong. But how can we dare define that as backsliding when in biblical terms a backslider is somebody who knows the truth and can be silent about it? Did you hear what I just said? That if we know the truth and the truth's been made real to us, and we can't and won't live it before other people, we pull back. You know, we won't be honest before people and tell them the truth. I'm not talking about buttonholing people and saying, you know, hey, turn or burn. But I'm talking about living life, knowing that the kingdom of God has taken residence inside of you, and you now find satisfaction with your own life because you have a purpose. And it's not to go to work, to earn a paycheck, so you can buy groceries and buy gas and make the mortgage payment or make the rent payment so you can go back to work next week. That work is not what this is about. Work is simply a place of opportunity where you and I can live the kingdom of God. Is it not a version of backsliding when we know the truth and we're silent? Now, I didn't say backsliders aren't going to heaven. So don't you dare say that. That's not what I said. Don't hear what I didn't say. But hear what I did say. How can we be silent? How can we not have somebody like Bill Weiss come and bring the truth to us? Say, oh, okay, I'm going to hear Bill Weiss. It's, no, you know what? Now you're going to miss. You may misunderstand this, but hear it all out. There's not a single person in this room that doesn't know somebody. Not now, Tyler. Tyler, not now. There's not a single person in this room that doesn't know someone who needs to hear this, the truth. And I'm asking you, I'm Frank, we're going to put every chair we own out. Frank's freaking out. We're going to put every chair we own out. And I'm believing for an incredible harvest of souls. Because that's what the kingdom's about. That's what the kingdom's all about. And can we do this? Can we get out of the comfort zone? Can we get out of the religious church mode? Where give me a few really cool songs. Let me shout and holler and dance. Whoop, whoop. You don't have a good time, which I'm all for. Can we get to the place where we understand that when Jesus comes back, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be extremely painful for the people that have rejected his name. I said this to you, and I'll finish with this morning, and then we'll do our announcements and do our offering. How can we be quiet? How can we be silent? You say, well, I don't talk well. I don't remember a bunch of verses. Your love and your respect of people screams louder than you belching Bible verses to somebody who doesn't even believe the scriptures. That you love somebody that nobody else wants anything to do with. And you show respect to people. And when you do that, the Holy Ghost will do his part. Get a hold of somebody. We're going to pray. Holy Spirit, we ask you to convict us and convince us. Not that we're sinners, because we're not. We're blood-bought saints.
That's right.
Convict us and convince us that the kingdom of God is inside of us. That we speak in the authority of the name of Jesus. And we speak life and hope to others. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Don't think we're leaving right now. We're not. I don't know what's going to happen next, but it's going to happen. So whoever's in charge from here.
Hey, how about we give Pastor Bob a round of applause?
Amen.
Hey, when the anointing's flowing, you got to preach it, right? Listen to these words from Jesus Christ. He says in Matthew 14, 15 through 17. That evening, the disciples came to him and they said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, and he's saying to us, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. Sometimes when we give, we think what we have isn't enough. But I want you to know a couple things that your giving has allowed us to do as a church over the last few months. In July, we had a women's event. We had 150 women here. That event cost us $1,500. You helped pay for that.
Yep.
Then just 10 days ago, we had an event for the men. That event as well cost $1,500, but we had 60 men here. And just this week, we got an opportunity to run ads on 102.5, the Vine radio station, a Christian radio station. A couple in our church wrote a check for $200 so ads can run all this week so people can come up to show up to see Bill Weiss next week, because there's unsaved people in this community. Yeah, let's give him a round of applause for that. And just tying in with what Pastor Bob was preaching this morning, I just want to ask you this question twice because I think it's important. And then I'll finish. How much is a person's salvation, healing, or restoration worth? Let me ask that again. How much is a person's salvation, healing, or restoration worth? We know the answer is priceless. Matthew 14, 18 through 20, Jesus continues, "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven, and he blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. I heard someone say this one time. I believe it was Pastor Steve Rook. God is the manufacturer. We're the distributor.
Yep.
When you take what's in your hands and give it out, I'll guarantee you, I will promise you, your baskets will always be full. So when the ushers come up, Lord, I just thank you for each and every person here this morning. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the worship team this morning and the anointing that started flowing right from the beginning. when Pastor Susan started right through Shemaine and the worship team, Pastor Bob, and Lord, just continuing. But most of all, I thank you for the people here and just the they continue to be committed not only to this church but to this community. Bless them, bless their family, their friends, and everyone they come in contact with. And most of all, Lord, we lift up your mighty and glorious name, for it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
All right. Well, welcome to DP City Church. That was going to be said about 40 minutes ago, but we'll say it now again, right? Hey, listen, a couple announcements before we leave today. This coming Wednesday is our first Wednesday of the month, and we have a big celebration every first Wednesday of the month. And this coming Wednesday, we actually have staff testimony night. So some of you may not know, we don't have a lot of staff on our church staff. It seems like it because we have a ton of volunteers that help us. But we have some individuals on our staff. We have Frank, Whitney, and Leilani will be giving. Leilani's super excited if you turn around and look at her right now. But you may think you know them. But, you know, until you actually get to know somebody a little bit more and you hear their story, some things kind of make sense as to who they are and how they act and how they minister and different things they do. And I would guarantee you, if you turn to five people around you, you would be shocked at all of the testimonies and all the things that God has done and things that they have lived through. So make sure you come on Wednesday night. We have a big pizza party beforehand. I believe it's free. Free? Oh, I better not say that. Nobody's answering me. Is it free? No, nobody's answering. Yes. Yes. Oh, wait. Oh. There's a pizza party on Wednesday night. I don't know. It's 6 o'clock. It's just 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. So make sure you're here at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. We have a pizza party. And also the kids will be watching a movie, so they have a movie night. They can wear their jammies. And I just want you to know, Cody is supposed to be doing this with me. So I don't look like Cody. He is out with our youth. But if you are new here, would you just raise your hand? We want to give you a hello card. We want to welcome you. We have a gift for you. You can take this out, fill it out, and hand it to